So we thank you, appreciate that. We're going to continue in my series, that faith is a victory. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yeah. And it's the whole basis for this series that I've been writing for you, is that we as, you know, Christians, hopefully strong in our faith, we need to be overcomers. Overcomers of what? Well, in general sense, it's overcome the what? The world. And I've been telling you, well, what is in the world? What is that? Well, it is sin. It is sin. And sin leads to a whole bunch of stuff, a bunch of icky stuff, right? Sin leads to anxiety, depression, boredom, loneliness. It leads to a whole bunch of stuff, right? Because, brothers and sisters, we clearly got to understand that God sent his son Jesus to give us life. But not just an eternal life, but this one. This present one, the one we are in right now. What is this, June 21st? Is that right? Is this the first day of summer? 22. Is this first day of summer or yesterday? First day of summer. And some people walk around like it's still winter. I'm serious. They walk around like it's still winter. Like you haven't put the snow shovels away yet, right? It's, come on. We are to have a life and have it how? Abundantly. We are to have an abundant life. But Christians walk around like this. So where are you going tomorrow? Church. I got to go to church because they're going to know if I'm not there. Pastor Tom might call me. Well, you ought to know by now, no, I'm not. I don't call you. And you know why I don't call you? If Jesus is not enough reason for you to come, stay home. Stay home. That's just the truth of it. Jesus should be all the reason you need to come to church. How many say amen to that? And so we need to have a life. So what gets in the way of having a life? What is it? What is it that gets in the way of having a life? And you can't tell me, it's a disability. No, that is untrue. Because Sue and I know people that are disabled and they have a life. I know people, and you know people too, Sue, that we would never trade places with them physically, but a lot of people sure trade places with them spiritually. So it's not about the physicalness of you that prevents you from having a life. Some people will say, well, I have real kind of financial concerns. Well, yeah. Well, I know people that don't have two nickels to rub together, and they're praising the Lord. I know a lady in Scripture that had one single mite, and what did she do with it? She gave it. No. So what gets in the way of having an abundant life? Those things we're talking about. Loneliness, depression, anxiety, boredom. And I'm going to talk about a new one today. It's called despair. Another way of looking at despair is hopelessness. People who get up in the morning and they have no hope. Hope. Everything is just hopeless. Why am I even here? Fact is, you may not know this, but I have in my little hands here, my guitar playing hand, right here. This is a study done from the American Heart Association. Eric, I'll see you get a copy. We're into vitamins, me and Eric. The American Heart Association. Are you ready? Right here. American Heart Association study in arteriosclerosis, thrombosis, and vascular biology. It's right here. Study. The importance of hope has long been recognized, whereas a lack of hope or giving up is generally to believe to have a negative impact on psychological well-being. Makes sense. We now know that it also impacts physical health. Recently, hopelessness has been identified as a strong, independent predictor of cardiovascular disease, morbidity, and mortality. Huh. I'll read that again. Recently, it's been discovered that hopelessness is a strong, independent predictor means what? Hopelessness alone. Are you hearing that, church? Hopelessness is an independent, right, Sue? Which means what? Alone. Not whether you eat like a pound of lard, or you know you have cholesterol levels through the roof, and independent, which means you can be healthy as a horse with all of your cholesterol. However, if you are hopeless, American Health Association, I don't make this stuff up. Recently, it has been identified as a strong independent predictor of cardiovascular disease, morbidity, and mortality. Arterial sclerosis in participants who are hopeless have a better than 35% chance of developing hardening of the arteries. How about that? Men reporting high levels of hopelessness at baseline had faster progression of carotid arteries arteriosclerosis assessed by four measures of independent study. Further analysis revealed significant interaction between hopelessness and the ideas of heart attacks. Hopelessness. How important is hopelessness? To get up in the morning and say to yourselves, what's the use? Everything is what? There's no reason even to live. How many people do you think are hopeless? Too many. Too many. And you know the weird thing about that study, and I have more. The weird thing about the study is this. When you go seek someone for help, whether it be psychological help, for example, you get cognitive behavioral therapy, electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, biofeedback, cognitive behavioral therapy, behavior modification, whatever it is that people think can help you, 80% of people who go believe in a spiritual well-being and a holy God, and only 20% of the people who are ministering the care believe the same thing. So before you go to anybody for anything, you ought to say, hey, how is your spiritual life? True? What is your connection? You want to help me with all these things, but tell me what your relationship with the holy God. And if they say I don't have one, what should you do? See ya. Because you'll be in counseling the rest of your life. Because they're looking in the wrong reasons. Now, it would be interesting if I just stopped with that study. I got more. To cement the idea of hopelessness. Check this out. Researchers at the University of Missouri, Columbia Health Science Center, have found that a lack of hope has been linked significantly to the poor behavior in children. How about that? As reported by Reuters' Leslie Lang, children with high levels of hopelessness, when they get up and they think their life is hopeless, tend to engage in harmful and destructive behavior to themselves and others. They also tended to be defiant, refusing to obey the rules, take turns, not share, and skip school. The research found and indicated that hopelessness may be an indicator for children and teens who are prone to act in antisocial and aggressive behavior. And that is based upon what? Hopelessness. And what do we do with kids in our schools that are acting out? Give them some medication. Oh, we are quick to hand out the meds, aren't we? Principal? Right? Kids acting out, get them some Ritalin. How about kids acting out, get them some hope? Kids acting out, well, what does this kid think about his life? Not my words. University of Missouri. Despair takes its toll on physical health, emotional health, and psychological health. In 1602, a fellow by the name of Reverend Owen Feltham said, he that despairs degrades God. Charles Allen in 1913, pastor said, when you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you are slamming the door in the face of Almighty God. Jeremy Taylor, 1613, said, it is impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent and all-powerful. Author unknown, he that is fallen cannot help the one who is down. Hopelessness. Despair. I wonder how many of us feel that way at times, that everything is hopeless. There's no reason to even continue. Thoreau, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Claire Booth, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Charles Swindoll, surrendering to despair is man's favorite pastime. God offers a better plan, but it takes effort to grab it and faith to claim it. Despair. Hopelessness. It affects every part of your being. Every part of your being. And for men and women of God, you should never feel hopeless about anything. Anything. Hopelessness and despair should not be a word that is in our vocabulary. Hopelessness for others is opportunities for ourselves. Hopelessness for others is an opportunity for our God to show how big He is. Hopelessness for us is not anything that we cannot overcome. They measure the distance of hopelessness to 12 inches. What you know to what you believe. And everybody in this room, if you've been coming here long enough, you've heard enough times things that you should know. But did you move them 12 inches? Did you move it 12 inches from what you were told to what you believe? Did you move it 12 inches from here to here? Did you go out that door and forget everything that's ever been told to you? Or did you buy it and own it and put it in here? How many believe at least anything you've been told? Not just know it, but do you believe it? Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew 6:30.
Now, God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Well, I can absolutely tell you all unequivocally, I'm kind of taking a little study here visually, none of us are going to make the pinup for Biafra Children World Hunger. I can assure you that none of us have to worry about what we're going to eat. How many say that's true? How many say we got the food thing covered, right? Number two, you're all clothed. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, we all have clothes on. Praise God. I mean, everybody got up this morning. We had something to put on, right? And praise God, Kathy. Praise God, right? So we sure don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. Is that true?
Yes.
Chances are pretty good you had some transportation because you got here. Praise God. Praise God, you all got up and got a shower this morning, hopefully, praise God. That means you had a place you stayed last night. How many had a place they stayed last night? Praise God. So we got the food part covered, we got the clothes part covered, we got the transportation part covered, we got the shelter part covered. I think we kind of got it all covered, right? So whatever you worried about, you didn't need to worry about because it was covered. It got taken care of. Is that not true? It didn't get taken care of. How many birds are there in Western Pennsylvania, Sonny? Birds. There's too many on my deck, I can tell you that right now. I can also tell you that there is one too many in the tree where I parked my car with my sunroof open. Yes, there was one too many. And had I noticed there was one too many before I sat down, life would have been better. So all I'm saying, life would have been a lot better had I had noticed there was one too many before I sat down with my black pants on.
Rough on
me. I'm rough. Very rough. Especially on the knee part. Especially on the knees part. So we don't know how many birds in Western Pennsylvania. You're right, there's no way of knowing. So how many birds would there be in Pennsylvania, Bob? You're kind of like a math kind of guy. A whole lot. A lot. Now, Glenn, you're a school teacher way back when. You know stuff, Glenn. You know stuff. So how many birds in America do you think?
A lot.
So that's confirmed a lot. Now, you're a principal. So you know more things than they know because you're a principal. How many birds in the world?
Too many to count.
Isn't that, that's like a really big number. Like, can you, Sally, wrap your head around that number? Like, how many birds in the world? How many can't wrap their head around that? I mean, it's like, what? Bazillion squared or something? I mean, so it's hard to wrap your head around how many birds there are in the world, right, Erica? That's like, phew. Well, wrap your head around this. There's not one that falls from a tree God doesn't see. Wrap your head around that big thought. There's not a bird in Argentina that doesn't fly from a tree and God says, hey, did you see that? Hey, did you see that one in Chicago? Hey, did you see that one in South America? Hey, look at that one up there in Antarctica. There's not one bird that doesn't fall from a tree that God does not see, and I am more important than that. But see, if you're hopeless, you feel you're not important to anything. If you're hopeless, you don't feel you matter to anybody and to anything. The world is passing you by, and nobody cares about you because you feel what? Hopeless. Can you imagine what a child must feel like who is hopeless? Do you imagine what it must feel like to a child that gets up in the morning and feels hopeless? Can you imagine how a child might act out that way? Can you imagine what it must feel like for a man to get up in the morning and feel hopeless about everything? And by the way, the statistics in the study I gave you, it's men, not women. Men. When men are constantly put down and nothing matters in their life and they start to feel hopeless, the situation is hopeless, greater than 35% chance that person is going to have a heart attack. Not based upon hardening of the artery, based upon what? Hopelessness. Hopelessness. What is there to be concerned about, church? Really? What is there concerned about? Let's turn to Matthew 7:11.
If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?
How many have more than what you need? Come on, let's just be real. How many of us have far more than what we need? True? Come on, let's be real here. How many have more than one TV in your house? More than one. How many have more than one computer? How many have a cell phone that costs more than $100? Think this through. Think this through. There are people getting mugged on the street because they're carrying something in their pocket that's worth more than their life. Think it through. How many have more than one car in your family? Think it through. How many of you are wealthy? We are wealthy. By today's standards, based upon, half the world? We're wealthy. We're wealthy. If you then know how to give good gifts to your kids, you know what? We got 5 grandkids downstairs. They stayed overnight at our house last night. We took them to the movies. We saw Train the Dragon 2 thing. And they say they were hungry. You think we were going to get them something to eat? Of course we were. Of course we were. Now, Riley made the good decision. She came to me and asked for candy, not her nana. I brought a bag load of candy. Silly me, I didn't think they're staying at our house. Shauna, I made a mistake. That's the night they go to your house. If I'm going to take care of those grandkids, will not God take care of me? Of course he will. But if you feel hopeless, if you feel hopeless and you're in the pits of despair, nobody cares about you. You sit and you wring your hands and you have your pity party. The world is hopeless. My situation is hopeless. This is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Well, guess what? You are going to be like that for the rest of your life unless you do something about it. Is that not true? Somebody said to me the other day, I don't have any friends. That's sad. What's the counsel that you give to somebody that says to you they have no friends? You know what the counsel is? Then go make some. Then go make some. You're waiting for people to call you on the phone and say, hey, you want to be my friend? Guess what you should do? Go call some. How many know that's the truth? You need to be more friends with more people so that they can be what? Friends with you. Is that good counsel? Yeah. I told that person last week, came to me and said, hey, I got 2 new friends. I said, praise God. Where'd you find them? At the store? No, I found them at my lunch table. No. Well, yeah, Pastor, they were sitting there all the time. No. So their friends were right there. Well, how did you know they're your friends? I said, you want to be my friend? What did they say, pray tell? Sure. The fastest way to get friends is how? Make them. Go to Luke 15:7.
I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.
Whoa. You guys ever been to like a really big party? You ain't been to a party till you have a Holy Ghost party. Mike, we have the opportunity to have a lot of Holy Ghost parties on Sunday night, don't we? Isn't that a wonderful time?
Yes.
When guys from Teen Challenge come up and accept the Lord, oh my gosh, what a Holy Ghost party we have there, right? Awesome, 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 awesome. When's the last time you guys been involved in a Holy Ghost party? Had the opportunity to bring somebody to the Lord and that person accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, you guys are missing out on a party of a lifetime. Party of a lifetime. You were there a couple of Fridays ago. Ron, we had a party of a lifetime, didn't we? When was the last time you had the opportunity to be in part of that kind of party? And if you're not, is it because you have too much time on your hands? Probably not. Be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. John 10:10.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Okay, church, let's get down to some real brass tacks. You have an enemy, and your enemy doesn't like you. He doesn't like you at all. Fact is, he hates you. And he hates who you represent. And he does not like you. And he wants to give you a miserable life. In fact, he can think of nothing better than to make your life miserable. That's what his job is. He doesn't like you to go around being joyful. He doesn't like you going around having life and having abundantly. He wants to make you miserable. How many know who I'm talking about? I wonder why you know. Maybe because he's making your life miserable. You see, it says in that scripture, it says, the thief who is Satan comes to what? Steal. Now, anybody got their car stolen last night? He doesn't come and take your keys. He doesn't care about your ride. That's not important to him. He doesn't come and rob your CD. He doesn't come and rob your car. He comes to rob your joy. He comes to steal from you your joy. He comes to kill. Kill what? Does he come to kill you physically? No, because you're all going to die. How's that for a joy buster, huh? But the reality of it is, every single one of us in this room is terminal. How many know you are terminal? And so if you sit at home worrying about being terminal, well, guess what? I'm just as terminal as you, and I'm not worried about it. Who here's not worried about it? I'm not worried about it. Whatever. How many got the bags packed anyhow? Come, Jesus, come quickly. I hope he comes before I pay the last payment on my car. That's what I'm hoping. I want to beat that back. But he's come to kill. Kill what? Kill your joy. Kill your life. So you have nothing but hopelessness. You sit in your house. You sit in your room. And you do nothing with your life. God says, I have come so that you may have life and have it how? Abundantly. And Satan says, oh, not on my watch, you're not. So you just sit there and you worry. Let me remind you how hopeless your life is. That's his job. Come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Destroy what? Your testimony. He thinks you want... You really think that he wants you out there proclaiming Jesus Christ? You think he wants you out there telling the world on how you overcome all of your obstacles? You think he wants you out there telling everybody about how joyful you are in the presence of the Lord? He don't want that. He wants you to be a churchgoer who is miserable so the rest of the world can see your miserable estate sitting in the church hearing the gospel message and be miserable. That's what he wants. And he's good at what he does. And guess where he does that at? He doesn't come ringing your doorbell. Where does he do that at? The idle mind is the devil's what? Playground. How many know he plays up there? He's up there. He's up there. And that's where all of the despair is. That's where all of the hopelessness is. That's where it all is. It's all there. It's all there. And you don't think Satan's good at what he does? He's good at what he does. I would wonder, and I'm not going to ask you, I would wonder how many of you in this room feel hopeless. Really, I don't want you to say it, because I would be disappointed if anyone was. But I would be willing to bet that there are people in this room right now who say, I feel hopeless. Really? Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy.
I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope.
There you go. There you go. Goes around 360, right? If you put your hope in Dr. Phil, I'm just saying. I think he goes to marriage counseling. I'm not sure. If you put your hope in Dr. Phil or Oprah, I like to say nope to Oprah. You put your hope in Joel Osteen. You put your hope in any of those TV ministers. Put your hope in me. No, you don't want to do that. Don't climb inside of here. You'll be greatly confused. Put your hope in who? In Christ. And that's that 12 inches thing I'm telling you about. There are a lot of people who know about Jesus. How many, what percentage of people do you think in the world know about Jesus? What do you think, Rob? You're a smarty. How many people think know about Jesus? A lot, like a great percentage, right? Probably close to 100%, I'll bet. How many know about Buddha? How many in this room know about Buddha? Not intimately, but how many know Buddha? How many Muhammad? We know those names. We know those characters, right? How about Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali? She didn't like it. Mary Lemieux? See the kid? See, the majority of people know about Jesus. What's that going to get you? You have to have Jesus. That's that 12 inches. It's this. There are some folks that come into church and they talk about Jesus and they get the Jesus moment. We call them what? Those who took my seminar, we call them fans, right? How many took the fan and follower thing? How many took the fan course? How many know that's a fan? Come in, know Jesus, I'm a fan. But when you take him with you, you're a follower. How often should you have Jesus in you, yo? 100%. 100%. 100%. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
A living hope, not a dead one. If you got a dead hope, bury it. It's a living hope. It's a breathing. It's alive. It's inside of me. It should be inside of every one of you, that every day you get up is another opportunity to serve the Lord in some kind of capacity. It's another day to get your pants on and get moving for the Lord. But I don't know what to do. Call somebody. Call somebody. Pray with somebody. Visit somebody. There are a lot of things to do. You know, despair and loneliness coupled with that one I told you about 2 weeks ago when I was here, boredom. You put those things together. Put boredom, loneliness, and despair together and find out what kind of person you got. Whitey, what kind of person would that be who's bored, lonely, and desperate? Whitey, you must have went to the same seminary I did. Somebody who's by themselves all the time. That's what it is. How many love hanging out with Christian brothers and sisters? How many like hanging out with them? Are they dull and boring kind of people? Are you kidding me? They have more life than anybody I know. How many love the Pirates? Who likes the Pirates in this room? It's okay. Love the Pirates. You know what's going on Thursday night? Anybody know? If you're a Pirate fan, you want to go to the Pirate game. Pick Thursday, because Thursday night, that's going to happen. And then the game, and then fireworks, and then if you want to, and you're a born-again Bible thumper, you go down on the first base line, and they're going to have seats out, and born-again Bible thumping Pirates are going to come out and talk to you about their faith. From the manager down, and I already know there's going to be a lot of major, major ball players right next to you telling you how important their faith is. I wonder how busy first base is going to be. I bet you better get there early. I think there's more Bible thumpers than you think is going to be at that first base line to hear what these major league ball players are going to talk about their faith. Did you guys know that was happening? You know how I learned it? K-Love? Anybody listen to K-Love? It's on there. Me and Sissy are going to try to go. We're going to try to get some tickets. Get on there. That's going to be an awesome thing. Romans 5, 1 to 2.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Boy, there it is again. See it, Kathy? Rejoice in hope that we have peace through God. We have peace with God. I wonder, truly wonder, how many of us have that peace? Not here. Not here. 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 12 inches. Here. As I look at it, 40 of you or so, are you hopeless? Are you hopeless? When you got up this morning and you looked at your situation, whatever it is, whatever it is, maybe you got up this morning and you said, man, I just don't feel well, or I'm getting old. How many are getting old? Okay, so how many are already old? You see, there's a difference. There's a difference between getting old and arriving at it. Like, I could be going to Myrtle Beach. When I get there, I don't say I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I'm already there. So how many are getting old? How many arrived? Praise God, right? Praise God. How many know the dance move called the slide? I showed that to you before. The slide works great. I have perfected it, Pastor Colin. I perfected the slide last night. I perfected it because I had five of my grandkids there, and Jonah and Jacob needed a shoe tie, so I went down and I tied the shoe, and I went, oh, crap. I slide over to the table. you have to laugh at life. I was in Tarentum, and I lost a part of my guitar strap, and I couldn't find it, and I saw it under the table. So I went under the table, I got on the table, and I got my thing for my guitar, and I got back up, and people went, I went, really? Really? Because I thought, you're clapping because I found this? No, they said, no, you got up. You got up. And they're I mean, when's the last time you felt that good about your life? Just a clap for me because they got up off their knees. Life is special. Life is special. There's so much joy in this world. So much joy. I said to Jacob when I was tying the shoe, I had him on my lap. And I said, oh, Jacob, this makes me sad. He said, why, Pappy? I said, because pretty soon you'll be able to tie your shoe and then you won't sit on my lap. He said, oh, Pappy, I'll sit on your lap every day. Hopelessness can be turned into a life full of joy. Full of joy. Look at Romans 15:4.
For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
There's that hope thing again. So where is hope found? Not only is it found in Jesus, but it's found in his word. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. Might have hope. How much time, really now, how much time do you really, I know what you want to say. Pastor Tom, every waking hour I'm reading God's word. Fact is, Pastor Tom, even when I'm driving in my car, I have a CD with all of the scriptures. Really? You make me try early? But how much time do we really, truly spend reading God's word? Now, I know Pastor Colin has a little thing going on through the Bible, right? And you might give, is it maybe a chapter? Is it a chapter? Three chapters a day. How long take to read three chapters, Pastor Colin? Approximately. 10 minutes, okay. So, let's suppose that people are really on board with Pastor Colin's Bible study, going through the Bible, right? And they read three chapters a day, which is 10 minutes. Let's suppose that we're really, really doing that. That means out of how many minutes in the day, they're spending what? 10. Well, I'm not saying that's bad, because at least we're spending 10 minutes. But what if you spent an hour? What if you spent 10 minutes in the morning before you went to work, 10 minutes at lunchtime, 10 minutes before dinner, 10 minutes before you went to bed, and interspersed some other things, and you spent an hour in God's Word? Well, according to that passage of Scripture, you might have more what? More hope. You might find yourself not as hopeless as you may think. You may find yourselves a little more full of hope if you spend time in His Word. Let me tell you an interesting thing about that. Here's the way this works. We know that dysfunction breeds dysfunction. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
It's the way it is. True. We absolutely know for positively sure that a young boy will treat his wife the way what? His father treated her. Is that a fair statement? That's the way it works. There's no question about it. We learn by watching. Is that a good statement? It is true. And so if dysfunction breeds dysfunction, then function must breed function. So what that basically means is this. If I want my children to be full of hope, I must exhibit what? Hope. If I want my grandkids to exhibit hope, I must exhibit what? Hope. Did you know hope is contagious? In fact, one of the most dreaded diseases that any man or woman could get is called optic anolitis. I have it as a study right here. Optic anolitis. You okay, Mary? Optic anolitis is when your optic nerve and your anal nerve cross. Well, that's true, Sandy. It's when your optic nerve and your anal nerve cross and you get a crappy outlook. Nancy, look it up. And when you have that dreaded disease of crappy outlook, it's contagious. So if you sit next to somebody long enough that's got that disease, guess what? You'll catch it. Oh, if you hang around with people with optic anolitis, the people write, how do you spell that? O-P-T-I-T. If you hang around or sit with people that's got that, guess what, Sue? You got it. You're going to catch it. Hey, if you sit around a table of folks like this, and you walk in, I'm serious, you walk in, oh, your life was full of joy, oh, I can't believe it, and you come down and sit with these guys, and they say, Pastor Tom, did you hear what's going on today? I said, no, what? And she said, they're serving asparagus cream soup. And I hate it. Oh, I never tasted it before. Well, you're going to hate it. Everybody hates it. Take it from me. You're going to hate it. Lady comes over and says, you want a spare soup? No, I want that soup. I'm going to hate it. And Bush says, you feel how warm it is in here? Man, it's like 69 degrees in here. Sweat's pouring down my face. Oh, yeah, this level of warm. You're right. This place is horrible. And suddenly he says, they only got one bathroom too. What? That's all I got? I'm telling you, you'll catch it. How many know you can catch it? Optic anolitis, a crappy outlook, causes stinking thinking. And if you get stinking thinking, you need a checkup from your neck up. How many know some people need a checkup from their neck up? You listen to me, church. You listen to me. Most people will be affected by the room. I'm telling you that again. Most people will be affected by the mass of the room. You come into a room that's full of despair, you will be despair. You come into a room full of hate, you will be a hate monger before you leave. That's the way that it works. But only so often, and not often enough, can a person change the room. Most people are changed by the room, Sally. Not very often can a person change the room. What person are you? What person are you? I had the honor, extreme honor, of sitting down to a lady to one of the centers in Toronto. She said to me, no, Pastor Tom, when you're here, the place is different. Praise God. Praise God. If somebody can say to you, hey, when you're here, the place is different, praise God. Praise God. Because not you, it's the Jesus in you. Right? hopelessness and despair. I want to close with one thought. Hopelessness and despair. A lot of you probably in your younger days could quote a guy by the name of Shakespeare. Oh, you could. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it's his neighbor in the eye to suffer the slings and arrows of outrage. That's not it, though. Shakespeare. 1564. God be praised. Shakespeare. God be praised that to believing souls he gives light in their darkness and comfort in despair. Quote that for Shakespeare. Hopelessness. Despair. Faith is the answer to that. Faith that God's got it all covered. I don't have time to be hopeless. I don't have time to be despaired. You know why? You know why? It's too much to do. Too much to do. There is just way too much to do. And maybe if when you leave this place you have nothing to do, maybe that's your problem. Because nothing to do causes an idle mind. Who likes to play up there? In case you don't think that there's a lot to do, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of people to go see. When are you guys cooking for Light of Life? When? You got room? Got room? If 10 people showed up, you got room? Huh, got room? What do you think about that? So there's room. Let me know how many people come next Sunday. Okay? Let me know how many people come and help cook. There's things to do. There are things to do. Any guy want to go with me tonight? Let me know. I'll give you directions. There's things to do. There'll be a bunch of guys from a teen challenge that we need prayed for tonight. You want to go? Call me. We got things to do. We got backyard blessing. They asked us on Friday night, please, we need help. You know what they said? Please, we need help. They're making 700 hot dogs or something. I heard some crazy number. Crazy number. Now listen to me, church. Listen to me. These guys from Men's Challenge, they pay for everything out of their pocket. Three guys. I happen to know the sound system alone, $1,000. They're paying for it because they believe in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And what they're asking for is what? Help. Help. That's it. Just help. There's things to do. Bob, Eddie, there's things to do. You can get involved. And you know there's nothing more better for your soul than helping a hopeless person find hope. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that faith is the answer to our hopelessness. Help us to grasp a hold, Lord, that hopelessness is not only a situation in what we believe, but it's a situation that will affect society and our kids, acting out, not sharing, flippant. All this stuff could be because the kid feels hopeless. Hopelessness causes, by itself, men to have heart attacks in the 35th percentile because they're hopeless. Hopeless. Oh, Lord, it is certainly for those of us in this place who claim you as Savior, we should never feel hopeless about anything. For as long as we have hope, we will not be disappointed. Our faith will be strong. So, Lord, help us to find that blessed hope that only can be found in Jesus Christ our Lord by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit and containing in your Holy Word. Lord, if we feel hopeless, the thing we need to do is spend more time with you. Spend with more people who love you and spend more time in your word. And Lord, our hopelessness will go away. And our lives will be full of joy. And all of God's people said, Amen.